KPBS On Demand is supported by Marichal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to kitchen remodels, room additions, and custom homes, Marichal Design and Remodeling can help homeowners design and build their dream homes. More at trustyourhometous.com.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Tuesday, June 10th. A Poway City Council member is under investigation by the DA. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Hundreds of Southern California Marines have deployed to Los Angeles in response to the weekend's immigration raid protests. According to U.S. Northern Command, a battalion of 700 infantry Marines based at 29 Palms were sent to the city to support the 2,000 California National Guard troops ordered in over the weekend by President Donald Trump. The Pentagon says the Marines have been trained in de-escalation, crowd control, and use of force rules. The decision to send troops to the city over the objections of local and state officials raises questions about the legality of the decision. Yesterday, Trump ordered an additional 2,000 National Guard troops to Los Angeles. As to those legal questions, the state of California is suing the Trump administration over its decision to deploy the National Guard. The lawsuit asked a judge to set aside the order. Yesterday, California Attorney General Rob Bonta said Trump's order was illegal, unconstitutional, and immoral. He says the conditions to deploy the Guard don't exist. That is, to put down a rebellion, to respond to an invasion of foreign troops, or if local law enforcement can't handle a situation.
We think that the conditions required to invoke the statute here, 10 U.S.C. 12406, were absolutely not present, and thus the Trump administration's reliance on that section of the law was inappropriate.
On Monday morning, Trump said it would be a good thing for Border Czar Tom Homan to arrest California Governor Gavin Newsom. Newsom called that an unmistakable step toward authoritarianism. The San Diego City Council will meet today to approve next year's budget. The city's facing a $350 million deficit. Officials say to balance the budget, they'll need to cut recreation centers and library hours and raise revenue, in part by implementing trash pickup fees and charging for parking in certain areas. Last week, the city's independent budget analyst gave the council a 55-page report detailing options to vary the cuts by neighborhood and restore some funding. The special meeting starts at 1 p.m. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting cellist Joshua Roman, performing from his album Immunity, alongside music by J.S. Bach and more, Sunday, June 22nd at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. Reserve your tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Poway City Council member Tony Blaine is under investigation by the District Attorney's Office. That's according to the Poway Sheriff Station. North County reporter Alexander Nguyen has the details.
In the video sent to KPBS by the group Recall Tony Blaine, it appears to show Blaine being searched by officers after last Tuesday's City Council meeting. It's unclear in the video which agency was involved, but Sheriff's Lieutenant Colin Hepler says it was the DA's office. Blaine has been accused of vote trading, threatening recalls against colleagues, and attempting to use law enforcement to silence critics. The DA's office says it's unable to confirm any potential investigations. Blaine sidestepped the issue in a statement to KPBS, saying, in part, that he's been called up to active military duty and will not be attending any city council meetings until November. He says he will be monitoring and responding to city emails. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Federal guidelines for COVID-19 vaccine recommendations are changing to exclude healthy people under 65. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says some health experts warn it could worsen health disparities, especially for low-income communities of color.
Pediatrician Marcia Spitzer remembers what it was like before COVID vaccines were available.
It was awful. I don't ever want to go to that again.
She says the pandemic exposed deep health inequities.
And our most marginalized or under-resourced communities are the ones that were hit hardest by COVID.
The new vaccine policy could hurt marginalized communities even more, says UC San Diego public health expert Cheryl Anderson.
Those who are in more vulnerable positions, whether it's economically or socially, are the ones who will have the greatest hurt or the greatest impact based on lack of availability.
Latinos make up 55% of California's frontline workers, putting them at higher risk of exposure. In San Diego County, they died from COVID at a higher rate than white residents.
And so all policies around vaccines really need to be thoughtful about the different environments that people have in the context of their lives that could then impact whether or not they're going to be likely to get an infection or not.
She says the new policy should not leave anyone thinking COVID is no longer a public health concern. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
Tri-City Healthcare District has agreed to have Sharp Healthcare take over its hospital operations and finances. North County reporter Alexander Nguyen has more on what this means for patients.
Tri-City has been looking for a partner for the past few years. Sharp and UCSD Health both submitted proposals in 2023, and the board chose UCSD. However, the deal fell through last year. This time around, both Sharp and UCSD submitted proposals again, but the board chose Sharp. Scott Evans is the chief strategy officer for Sharp Healthcare.
This time, we really were able to answer all of Tri-City's requests in terms of what they were really looking for.
Tri-City serves Oceanside, Carlsbad, Vista, and the surrounding areas. It closed its labor and delivery service 2 years ago. The expectation is that this deal with Sharp will bring that back.
Sharp Healthcare delivers more babies in San Diego than any other healthcare provider, and so it is definitely one of our core strengths.
Since Sharp is a private healthcare system, the deal will need voters' approval, but that vote is at least a year away. The two entities still need to sign a letter of intent that is expected to be completed this week. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Alex Tardy has ushered San Diegans through fires, floods, even the occasional tsunami warning. As meteorologist for the National Weather Service, Tardy has talked about all things climate to KPBS's audience in San Diego and elsewhere for 32 years. He retired in April amid proposed radical cuts that would severely weaken the United States' weather forecasting capabilities. He spoke to KPBS's Amitha Sharma.
Before we get into why you left the National Weather Service in April, talk to me about the importance of weather forecasting. It's not just about telling us whether we should take an umbrella before we leave the house in the morning, is it?
Just looking at your phone gives you the weather forecast information. What's so important is that National Weather Service meteorologists can warn you ahead of time about dangerous, threatening weather. They can save your life and property in severe weather situations.
Alex, you wrote in your retirement announcement that while there was a lot to consider, great staff, unfinished work, there were limitations that tipped your decision toward retirement. Explain.
So I just finished 32 years in federal government, National Weather Service. This is the first time where I was restricted where I could go, what I could say, who I could meet with. And I'm talking about important meetings like government agencies, media. That's something I'd never felt or experienced before in my whole career.
What kind of explanation were you given for those limitations?
Some of it was where travel was banned, basically. As simple as that, no explanation. Or our government credit cards were reduced to $1. You had to prove that it was an emergency, life-threatening situation to meet with any group or any agency.
Where was travel banned?
Travel was banned even locally, and I had never experienced that before. The only time I've felt that type of limit or impact was during a government shutdown.
What impact do even changes like that have on the practice of weather prediction for San Diego and across the country?
Well, part of our weather prediction and our climate monitoring is having relationships with other groups because we can't do it all ourselves. We rely on universities, government agencies. We rely on you, the media, to get messages out there about Santa Ana winds and red flag warnings. So there's huge impact when you're not able to get out of the office, meet with people. That was a key component of my job for years, was developing relationships, meeting with people, understanding what they need, how they respond, and relaying them, when it counted, important weather information.
The National Weather Service has lost more than 500 employees through layoffs and early retirement and for other reasons. It is now hiring back about 100 employees to, quote, stabilize operations after a public backlash. Is that enough? Is 100 enough?
if we just pick up another 125 or so, it's going to take a long time to train them, spin them up, get them in the right locations. We have some offices right now, even in California, that are down about 50% of their staff, because it's not just meteorologists, right? It's administrative, it's technicians as well. And so it'll be a Band-Aid, that 125.
That's what's happening now. Looking toward the future, the Trump administration has proposed ending climate research and related projects, slashing weather satellite programs and other infrastructure, and ending efforts to monitor the ocean. What would this do to weather prediction in the country and San Diego specifically?
Well, we're observing the weather, and that actually becomes the climate. So we were the ones and are the ones that gather the ocean data, the land data, the sky conditions. We do that every day, no matter what. So not having climate observations, I mean, that's a dagger. It would be a huge loss. We're not the researchers, but we provide the data to the researchers.
You are someone who has committed 32 years of your professional life to weather forecasting. What kind of effect is this having on you personally?
Yeah, this was a big change. After 32 years, I knew I had things I hadn't completed. I knew I had things I could still do. I still had the energy, the passion. It doesn't feel like work to me to monitor the weather. And so I'm hopeful I made the right decision. I feel good about it, but I haven't lost that passion for weather and climate.
Given that you haven't lost that passion, what's next for you?
The weather has never felt like work. You know, I used to write the weather down on a calendar when I was 8 years old, no matter what, and that becomes climate data. I'll be doing part-time weather. I'm spinning up a business called Weather Echo LLC. I'll do a lot of the same work that I used to do, talking to the media, talking to government agencies, talking to the public and outreach.
So it's not an absolute farewell to Alex Tardy.
No, it's hard to get the weather out of someone once it's in them, yeah. We're all under weather threats, and those are not going away.
That was meteorologist Alex Tardy speaking with KPBS reporter Amitha Sharma. An art gallery in El Cajon that celebrates inclusion and expression is marking an anniversary milestone with a special show. Reporter Jacob Ayer says the artwork has been 25 years in the making.
Sophie's Gallery is a space for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities to explore their creativity through art. Lauren Heim is one of over 200 student artists who attend classes at the studio every week. She enjoys making mosaics and selling her works at the gallery.
It really makes me feel proud when people buy my art.
Students like Heim learn from professional artists on site. Visual artist Holly Pierce teaches at Sophie's Gallery.
But we do a little bit of everything here. Weaving, mosaics, printmaking, painting.
Now the gallery is celebrating its 25th year anniversary with a special best of show. It's an archival exhibition that's open for the public to explore through July 7th. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting the new 2025 Camry with refined design and performance. Visit your local Toyota dealer to learn more about all the features the new 2025 Camry offers. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.